So some people sort of stop then and stay on dedications, like, you know.
There would be soldiers or other people with different assignments.
No, we travel. You know, most people on the trip were assigned to work with supposed to be you know, ICCS teams.
Oh, I see. So some of those were dropped off on the way.
Yeah, on the way.
Yeah.
Like in, you know, Hue area, Bohue, you know, Binh Chitien area, or Da Nang area.
Did you have some foreigners with you from the ICCS?
No, not that trip. Because that trip was you know, at that time was still a secret, not really secret, because you know, we went there to work with ICCS, but because we left, you know, we came from Hanoi, you know, it was still considered penetration, so-called penetration. To work for the PRG, but actually you were from Hanoi.
Yeah.
And also because of the bombing in Southern Laos was, you know, ceasefire was effective in Southern Laos, so there was some bombing in Southern Laos.
Okay, well let me ask you about that. You still travel in the daytime in Laos?
Yeah, daytime in Laos.
Yeah, but did you get attacked at all?
No, there was a couple of times we saw burnt vehicles on the way, and sometimes.
Burnt vehicles?
Yeah, what destroyed vehicles.
Lorries?
Some lorries, some small tubes.
But not still burning or anything like that?
Not really.
Right, but they had been
destroyed and burnt.
Not too long earlier.
Not too long earlier, because you know, you would be given a warning by the station's people that you know how to, I mean, watch out for the aircraft, and if there was some sort of attack, then how you should move, and so on. Because they said Hercules would be flying around. They usually would fire rockets with heat-seeking rockets, and the drivers sometimes got scared of those things. So the tip for the drivers was that when we heard aircraft coming, we should get out of the cars stop in a bush, it could be hit by the city. So the bombing wasn't intensive by then, but that was happening. And it was in Southern Laos that we heard about the ceasefire.
Heard there'd been a ceasefire arranged in Laos when you were in Southern Laos.
Sometime around that period of time we were away, and the same thing in Mongolia, there was still bombing sometimes.
So did your drivers ever have to stop and you all run into the bush? Did you hear aircraft?
Yeah, a couple of times.
In Laos?
Both in Laos and Cambodia. And there was some warning that you were instructed to get off the tubes.
Okay, how did the warning come?
Usually the guides, the station guides, would have to watch out. And they would, I think they would have briefing of activities of aircraft, or some, you know, the parking, some activities, something, so they would watch out. the guides who travel in the coast.
Right, but how would they warn the vehicles behind them or anything else that they were supposed to abandon the vehicles and run for cover?
They would stop and shout and emit the signs.
So several times that happened in Laos and in Cambodia.
Yeah.
But you didn't get attacked.
Yeah. But other vehicles got attacked
before you arrived.
Before you arrived.
Yeah. By heat-seeking missiles.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Mm. So even with the vehicle turned off, a heat-seeking missile was still homing on the vehicle.
Yeah, that's what the station people said just through the experience. So the drivers were instructed to leave the vehicles immediately. We didn't get attacked, but we had an accident on the way somewhere in southern Laos.
What happened in the accident?
My jeep, for some reasons, early in the morning we left the station. Early in the morning, the road was bad, but somehow the driver was sleepy or something. He hit a tree by the roadside, and the jeep turned over. But we were lucky because we didn't roll down to the side.
Was it on that cliff?
Not very close. We were lucky, but if it was too close to the cliff, we could get killed.
Yeah.
So the jeep turned over and we got out.
Did the jeep end up upside down?
But you were able to get out. Yeah, we got hurt a little bit, but didn't get seriously injured. And we sent the jeep back to the station to seek assistance. And they, some stations would have bulldozers or heavy trucks,
right,
for
towing. Yeah.
For towing.
Yeah.
So after. After a couple of hours or so, we managed to get a heavy truck, a towing truck, to come, to pull up the jeep. But it was bad, battered, so we had to abandon that jeep and had to travel with the other jeeps.
Oh.
And one driver, on a booth, you are supposed to have two drivers on one vehicle. Drive continuously.
Mm.
So we have to abandon one driver.
Mm. Just leave it behind?
Yeah, left him.
Not because he was injured, but didn't have any room for him.
He would have to stay with his old chief.
Oh, I see, stay with his chief. But the reason they had two drivers is that they were so heavy going that they would take turns to drive during the day.
And also, in a certain time of the way, one main driver and one co-driver.
Yes. Yeah. So the occupants of your car split up into other
vehicles? Split up to other, to different jeeps.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a hard time. We spent all the day cutting down some trees to make room for the truck to pull up the jeep. That day we lost one day there.
You don't know what day it was?
No.
Time wouldn't mean too much.
No,
we don't know it.
And you wouldn't mark on the calendars.
No.
Well, some people might write diaries. And in the Cambodia, where I said it was hard to notice the world. So I think for a couple of times we the guide, we got lost.
The whole convoy?
No, by the time we got to southern Laos, the convoy got much fewer, only some ships.
5 or 6 or?
I think less than 10. And when we got to Cambodia, there were probably 3 or 4. So, you know, along the way, you would drop people at B3, B4, B5,
yeah.
And then B2. The B2 would be the southernmost one.
So when you had 3 or 4 jeeps, you just have one guy to lead people, would you? And you drove around all day and then discovered you were somewhere where you started.
Yeah, we just drove around. You see, in Cambodia, it was...
But you couldn't tell you were going around.
Now, the scenery was very... for miles, you would see the same thing, you know, the plain and the same kind of trees.
What is it? Is it? It's not thick. It's not thick.
No,
forest.
Not thick
yeah.
Forest.
It's flat.
Quite flat.
Flat.
Yeah.
And just not tall trees.
Not tall trees.
Yeah.
Some kind of trees. I don't know the name.
But just
big
bushes trees. And things and some trees.
Yeah.
And it just looked. It looks the same for mile after mile.
Yeah. Very dry there. And a little
very
grass.
Bright.
Dry, very dry.
Dry,
yeah.
Bit of grass.
Yeah.
And did it get lost more than one occasion? More than one day, I mean?
I think a couple of times. You know, one time we had to end up in the same place. After all day.
End up in the same place.
Yeah, because you could, you know, you got lost, and the best thing to do is to go back
to where you
to the
started.
Place where you
yeah.
started.
And you found the
yeah.
You found the waste.
Yeah. And some of the times we got lost, but we came back to the trail, found the trail, and then we drove on. So we lost hours, but we managed to get to the next station very late.
And eventually got to Lopni.
So
all together took about a month.
We started here, I think, around the middle of February, and we got there in late March. Late March.
So still hard going. I mean,
yeah,
it took
a month.
Yes.
You have a special sort of assignment, so you are better equipped than other people.
Yeah.
You've got more special sort of permits, more papers, government to travel, so you'd be better treated. But it still took a month.
Longer than a month, eh? I mean, closer
yeah.
to 5 weeks or more. That sounded from mid-February to late March. So still no picnic by 1973.
No.
Was malaria a problem since then?
That was one of the big concerns of us because for people for the first time going there, we didn't have any experience. We had pills, arrow pills. So some people would take pills, some didn't because they. Way off, you get tired on the way, and so on. And also, they said sometimes you took pills. Because, you know, we didn't know for sure, but we had to rely a lot on experience of other people. And all the way, we had to watch out for mosquitoes. Every night when you that the mat would be closed.
And no mosquitoes get inside, otherwise they feed on you all night.
Yeah. And some people got
in your convoy.
Yeah. But that was by the time we got to Lopni. And I got malaria barely in Lopni after arriving there.
How long after you arrived?
A week or so ago. And
you got it badly, huh?
Yeah, that's why I had to spend a few months there
anything else of interest on the way? You just mentioned, because I just still want to to picture it through your eyes mainly.
On the way, another problem was water. Mm. You know, you could carry some food, but you could carry water. Mm. You could carry some water, you know, how do you say, bottle?
Bottle, water bottle.
Metal bottle.
Metal and water bottle, yeah.
Yeah. But, after a couple of hours, because it was very hot, very dry.
Sweaty.
Sweaty, so you would drink a lot. You know, at the stations, the first thing you would do is to go to get water.
Do they have it?
Yeah, they cook. They're supposed to cook the meals and cook water for you to bring them out.
Right, but they had a supply of boiled water you could drink, did they?
Yeah. Mm. And otherwise, you have to. When you drive all day, then you meet a creek, for example. Stop and you can put the utensils and so you can keep out water. If you crowd all day. But you know, not very often that you'll come across a creek. And sometimes a creek is just dry, very little water. So to wash yourself is a bit difficult. Some people would. Off and you know, when they find some water, great, they wash themselves acting. Water was very dirty.
Some people would jump right in.
Yeah, sometimes you could, you know, sometimes there would be bigger bricks. You could, you know, we could wash, or you could, you know, be
up to your knees or
something. But otherwise, you know, just a little. Very dirty. Go for days without bathing or washing.
There's no choice.
Yeah, at the stations you can wash a little bit, but then you know in trouble you wouldn't care much.
No.
And you are too tired to do those things.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gone too well on the trail. I had a couple of trips. 80 and 83 from Phnom Penh up to Battam Bung and then to Siem Reap. 18 hours to Battam Bung, and you get there, your head would be bashing into the top of the Land Cruiser all day, you know,
that's
bruises
right.
All down the back. And no matter what you do, I mean, you just get these potholes and shake, and the vehicle just come to a stop, and you get the first gear, climb out of a hole, get up to about 20 miles an hour again, and hit another hole.
Exactly.
Keep hitting the roof.
Yeah, you have to develop some sort of reflex.
Sure. I was trying to hold my hand over here at the time, so that it's bashing my hand instead of hitting my head on the top, and then all the back of your shoulders keep bouncing, and you got to hold it, trying to hold yourself down. But after a while, you can. But I would the same at the other end. All you wanted to do was just try and. You didn't care about washing, or even I didn't care about eating. You know, I just wanted to stay, just wanted to sleep, and try and get back into human condition.
Yeah.
Incidentally, talking about washing, in this movie, this was I went to see. The director was a bit daring, so he portrayed the women on the trail, and one of the things that was daring for Vietnam in 1982. So. A couple of the women, two soldiers, one actually a truck driver and a soldier traveling on the truck. They go down to the river to bathe.
And happened to.
Well, they
share the water with the women.
No, the girls are watching them from the bushes. They don't know, you see. So the two of them, there and they down to their underpants, and then they take off their gear completely. So. They walk into the water like that, with their backs to the girls. The girls looking, but the girls want to see the whole thing. So the girls
drop a little pebble back behind, so the two of them turn around to look at the pebble and say, what's that? Oh, it must have been the bird. And of course, the girls can see everything. This is considered very daring, because up until now, it just shows men looking at women, but that as much as the girls having a look at themselves.
Yeah, I think he was trying to make a point.
Make a point, yeah. So that was part of that, I think. So just reminding me that is in fact it was just the point. It didn't show anything bad or anything on the screen.
Yeah.
Too daring.
You go back to, that was in dry season.
Right.
When we traveled south. My return from the south was in August. July, August.
Which year?
So, 4. Yeah.
You had to go back to Hanoi.
Yeah.
You'd spent most of the time in
Tonsil. And then returned to Long Bay. Traps, this time in traps. Now, one thing you know is that from the north to the south, you troops or people were in good uniforms, and they have equipment and gear. But when you see people coming back from the south, they were better, right? And thin and
just
the tracks will be different, the people will be different in terms of their gear, in terms of their physical conditions and so on.
Just reflecting that?
Reflecting the
fighting conditions and
hardship. So when you come across two tracks moving in opposite directions, and when the guys
yell at each other.
Yeah, yell at each other. There was some, some sense of I don't know how to say,
What would they yell at each other?
The people from the south would ask for information in the south, how it would be and so on, and people going to the north would want to ask where you come from, to see if anyone coming from the same province. So they yell at each other, asking for information.
Yeah.
And also the people from the south returning to the north would be much happier.
Cheerful. Going home.
Going home, right. And apart from the greetings and the questions, so they say, okay, you would know. if the other guys are better gear, they look well off or something, and these people are right, they have poor conditions. They say, okay, you would be the same when you go back.
You say your turn now.
Your turn. Yeah.
But when they'd exchange greetings, that'd be mainly at a stopping point of somewhere. Okay, they
no, not, not necessarily. If they happen to be at the same station, they...
That sort of exchange, yeah.
On the way, sometimes the drivers would stop or slow down and...
They could just call out or talk.
Yeah.
But even the trucks look bad at going north, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just as a result of the hard road and sometimes damage and war.
No, you have no idea how some of the tracks would still be able to move, because
just so bad.
Yeah, they had just the wheels and the engine.
Was your jeeps were not camouflaged coming down? You didn't have bushes on them or anything?
Not
like
really.
That.
We had at first we had some tree branches on. Mm-hmm. work there, but for some time it just dropped.
Too much trouble.
Yeah.
Right. So you set out to go north. By truck. In a convoy again?
No, just some trucks.
A few trucks
going to Mongolia, and we pass the same two provinces, Russia and Australia.
Then into southern Russia,
but somewhere in the country, we stop somewhere in the country at the Bacon River.
Mm-hmm.
We drop to the Bacon River, mm-hmm. and then we took boat upstream to southern Russia.
Right.
It was
in
long
the,
way.
In the Mekong, not in the tributary, in the Mekong.
In the Mekong.
Yes.
In the Mekong.
Yeah. What sort of boat was it?
I don't know which Mekong or Menam. But first we went up by Mekong, and then we returned to Wang Kuswe to get to Wang Kuswe.
Right. You turned into another river?
Part of the Mekong.
Yeah.
Because when the Mekong go further west to turn to Laotai's forest.
Some tributary off to up to Attapur.
Yeah.
What sort of boat?
It was a motorboat.
Open? Completely open?
It was mostly open, but they had some groove in the back.
Some
kind of groove.
Oh, yeah. In the back.
In the back.
But mainly open. How many people would
not
it carry?
Not very big. It was a wooden boat. And they had a motor.
20 feet?
Just like a small fishing boat.
As wide as this room? 20 feet?
Longer.
30 feet?
Longer, I think about 30 feet. And I think you'll have to carry about two squats.
Right. Was it actually raining when the vehicles left Lopburi and went off to Kampuchea? Was it raining most of the way?
Yes, it was at the start of the race.
So it was starting to go muddy
at the beginning.
Yeah,
it was somewhere, and that's why you couldn't drive all the way.
Yeah, you couldn't take.
So you have to take go by the river, you have to walk across the mountain range to somewhere behind.
How far or how many days did you walk?
More than 100 kilometers.
How many days did that take?
Every day you would travel at most 8 or 10 kilometers.
Is it raining most of the way?
On and off, yeah. But, it was the beginning of the rainy season, so there wasn't enough rain, but there was some rain.
Right.
But it was bad enough that you couldn't drive, so you had to do that trip some distance.
You'd be taking a trail there. Instead of taking the transport trail, you'd be taking the trail that the troops were using for the foot people.
Foot people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't see any vehicles on that road?
No.
Yeah. So you're heading from somewhere in Attapur east into Vietnam?
Yeah, that's right.
South of the Demilitarized Zone.
Further south.
Near the top, in the Central Islands.
Yeah, to somewhere in the city.
Van Mitu area.
What time is it?
6:15.
That's close. We just finished up.
Okay. Yeah.
We're somewhere in Attapur.
Yeah.
We walk across to a place called Ben.
And it's called that
B-E-N-H-E-T.
Two words.
Two words. It was in
You walk from Attapur to Ben Hed.
Yeah.
Ben Hed is in Vietnam.
In Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Eastern side of, of the trail.
Yeah.
So from there you could drive north. It was a
did you stay inside Vietnam to drive north?
Yeah, to drive.
Back on highway, not on Highway 15.
I don't know whether that part of that island was for Highway 15, but it was the new world.
But you say you were right at the far west of Vietnam. You didn't go across in the middle of the DMZ or anything like that.
No. Along the trail system.
Yes, right.
The trail system, and you would go to Highway 9. You would meet Highway 9.
Yes.
Where you would turn to Doha.
Yes. So, from Bedhead, what sort of vehicle would you take there?
Trucks.
Okay. And it's starting to get pretty wet by that stage?
Yes, sometimes there was rain. Yeah. And there was no road.
The trucks.
Yeah.
So you just get wet most of the way. How long did it take this time to get from Loc Ninh to Hanoi?
Drive like crazy.
Yeah. But it was not dangerous.
No, at that time it was a
ceasefire.
Yeah, it was way out of ceasefire.
But that was held, but would be held.
But it would be actually right.
Anyway, yeah. Right. Yeah, so
we dropped to Doha. Doha was just considered Piachi.
Of course, it's south of the Democratic Zone, right?
Yes, south of the
Yes, okay. And then straight up Highway 1 from there.
Right. So from there it was okay, was it? But the worst part of the trip back was the walking distance.
Yeah.
It was only more than 100 kilometers, but it took basic gear, a couple of trousers, shirts, that's all.
Mm.
Very light things. Fencing, water, more water. So.
A guide will walk you with you every day?
Yeah.
From one station to another?
Yeah.
So the station must be quite close together there. What was it? What sort of a road was it? I mean, how many in your party? How many of you?
We have a few, about less than 10.
And was it just a path to walk on?
Yeah, you know,
the roadway where you're walking for the 100 kilometers.
That part of the area. You have the exact idea of the trail, because it was only noticeable enough for you to, or for the guide to take you.
A few feet wide, or did you have to walk single file, one behind the other?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
No. Sometimes, it varies considerably from one place to another, or one part to another, because at some point you could hardly walk by two. Sometimes it was so steep that your face would level with the back and feet of others.
That's deep.
Yeah, ahead of you.
Up over the mountains.
Yes, across through jungles. Hardly see any trail or road, but now if you look at it up, then you'll see some signs of. There was no sign actually, but I mean the ground would sort of be different.
Yes,
that's all.
Were the stations you stayed at each night, the small stations, were they on foot? Were they much the same as the ones that been for the truck? Jeep stops on the way down?
No, they're different because the bigger stations, the bigger way stations.
Pinchon
was sort of fixed.
Yes.
They were in the same place all the time because there was headquarters. There were more facilities and the rough headquarters. They had different units,
Okay.
But otherwise, the smaller way stations, they could be moved from one place to another to accommodate the need. Mm. So they could be very close to each other if the needs arise. They could be a little bit further away. So they could be split as well.
Right. So, but what? So, what one did consist of? Obviously, no parking area because there were no vehicles.
No. So there might be some, but left unused for the purposes.
What would consist of? Some places, some accommodation huts, some places to stay.
Yeah.
People, some huts for people living there.
So they would have the same thing.
Same thing, but without the parking bay, without the petrol station.
No trouble.
Yes.
And much fewer people traveling.
You didn't have any worries about the bombing had stopped in Laos at that stage?
No. At that time it was quite safe.
Mm.
Okay.
Come to you was safe.
Only when you travel through very busy in series four, we also got some warning that watch out for the coach.
Yeah.
Usually they said those guys black hats
Was your group armed when you were walking? All of you were armed?
Not all of us. Because we were stripped up for anything happening, so
only
a few
But were they specifically soldiers sent to guard you?
Yeah, usually the station guys would carry weapons.
Right.
Yeah,
rifles.
Yeah, rifles. And some of us would carry pistols.
When you say strip off, but you still wore a shirt? So.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But down to basic needs.
Yeah. Still worry about malaria?
Yeah.
That could be worse then.
Worse because you started to go wrong, and you were in worse conditions. Also,
your resistance down.
Yeah, and also on the way.
So
everyone had to try to keep going, and also to avoid any signs of awareness, because if you get too tired and you are tired, then you have to try while you try, it's like a machine going right on. But if you stop and you lie down, get over the sickness, it could be a big job.
Were you still feeling the effects of malaria?
Yeah, but luckily now sometimes I've got it.
Did you have to leave anyone behind on the way up? But on the way down you had to leave?
Yeah, because of the accident.
Oh, I needed to put that particular.
have to leave anyone because of sickness on the way home.
No, not in my pack. No. But on the way we met some people.
Were they soldiers?
Sometimes. Yes, soldiers. Sometimes they would try to charge down the other path because we would travel the path. Mm. So they would try to charge
to get up to the room.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we leave it like that. Anything else on the trip that would be worthwhile noting?
Interested in anecdotes or any colour, you know, colourful things that if you remember any.
What time does it never happen to check?
6:30.
Because you should go.
Yeah, because they make close up.
Okay, that's fine.